That was Drake May on with us earlier here. It's Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons, live from Gillette Stadium here on a Patriots Monday. Nice to have you with us today. Your phone number is 617-779-7937 if you'd like to chime in on anything we haven't gotten to yet or anything we've discussed there, including what Drake May just said, which I thought he was pretty upfront, pretty good, pretty relaxed. I mean, we're not the scariest guys in the world when it comes to doing these interviews, I don't think. You know, not big, scary.
Are we supposed to be?
Afternoon dry, you know, hurling the tough questions at him. I don't think there are a lot of tough questions to ask this week, you know?
Not to him.
He has a bad game, like a legitimately bad game, then yeah, we'll be a little tougher probably, but I don't know. I mean, I think after a debut like that, yeah, they didn't win the game, and he said that right away. He said, no, it didn't go the way we wanted. We want to win these games. But I think deep down, he's looking at it like, yeah, I threw 3 touchdown passes, over 200 and whatever yards. Look at the other rookies who are all doing well right now. They didn't have a starting point like this. This is my starting point. I'm already, and I think this is true, Caleb Williams, Daniels even, Knicks, all of them. They didn't start here. I think May's starting here. These other guys started down here.
Dan Marino, you ever heard of him?
I've heard of Dan Marino.
He's the only one on the list with me that you've ever heard of after his opening day with 3 interceptions. I mean, 3 touchdowns. To me, there's no reason, unless you're trying to be some kind of a jackass hardo. Like, what are the questions you're going to, hey, nice throw on that interception. Like, what are you going to be a... Now, if we brought Elliot Wolf in and sat him down, I'd be concerned where the interview would go, especially from your vantage point where you say, quote, we have one player on the roster, it's the other 52 I'm worried about or something.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, you know, come on.
But no, Drake May went out there and injected life, whether you ask players or coaches, injected life into the passing game, injected energy into the team, injected entertainment value for fans. So I'm gonna just assume the guy who sits, where are we? Way above us down there a little bit, Robert Kraft.
Oh, he sits over there?
Well, up, but down there, but up.
Down there and up?
Yeah. I'm going to guess he was happy yesterday. He wouldn't admit it because he wants to win. But you think he was happy?
That first touchdown drive, I thought him and Jonathan were going to do a backflip.
100%.
Yeah. Exactly. So we all assumed that on some level, maybe ownership was starting to sniff around and be like, hey, I've heard about this plan thing. When do we plan on playing the Maserati and getting him out there? I think he was probably happy. I think you said it. DeMario Douglas and Kayshon Booty, happy, right? Like, I think Jerod Mayo has to say he's not happy because his team has lost 5 in a row and all of that. But I think there's a portion of him, a compartment in his compartmentalization, that was absolutely happy with what he saw from his quarterback, right?
Definitely. So there. And you could tell as the game went on and the high fives got, like, less and less intense, like, that, you know, all right, the game's not going well, but, hey, the quarterback looks okay,
right.
Like, you know, right?
So
that one to Henry, like, that was a very understated high five. But the first one, I mean, they were belly bopping up there. Like, that was a whole thing, yeah.
Because it was a 14th of a game. Like, you're in a game, ball game, but everybody involved with this team, to me, in some portion of their now, Hunter Henry wasn't the most exciting interview with Jones and Keefe. Kendrick Bourne had a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. He was kind of upbeat about where things are going, even though he was willing to acknowledge what they are right now, a bad team that's playing badly that lost a game. But almost everybody surrounding this organization, to me, should feel a little bit of positivity, a little bit of, are we turning the corner there? Like, kind of feeling it. And that's okay. You don't have to be Harry Hardo, the kid that sits on the bus with his helmet on in high school riding the whole way home because we lost. I understand you lost. And guess what? Everybody knew you were going to lose a lot of football games this year. Did anybody pick them to beat the Texans, you think, to start the year?
No, but you picked them on the Sunday show.
Yeah, I was just being homerish.
Oh, now he's just being homerish. Okay, sorry. I thought that was a legitimate pick.
The real picks are on the 6 rings pod.
I didn't know it was just a fake, you know, Sunday morning. Yeah, let's just get the fans excited. I thought that was an actual Andy Hart pick.
27-13 on the Sunday pod, on the 6 rings pod.
Well,
that show, that little show you do in the middle of the day.
It's not the middle of the day. It's 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. NFL
Sunday. But I'm middle. I'm 12:30, baby.
Yeah.
Smack in the middle of the day, leading into the game. And I told you I'd never done that before. And guess what? I'll never do it again. I'm never changing last minute. I got caught up in the emotion, the excitement. I'm a maniac. I'm a May fan. I thought maybe there would be a little boost. And I'm not going to lie to you. At 14-7, I was like, did I get this right? Is there a chance that I validated in changing my pick?
I'm telling you, halftime, that was the peak of the game.
And then
halftime, sitting there going, they could really win this game. And then it's like, nope. No, they can't.
Nope. Then the game I expected and then some developed in the second half. But
I can't even make fun of you either because I tried to shoot the moon in that San Francisco game, too.
Yeah.
Like, I picked them to win that game because I thought that was the last chance you could have to have a really,
that
a
was
really
way
wild. It was dumber, definitely. But
okay, thank
if
you.
They had won, I would have been the only one who picked them. I would have been the only one in the world that picked them to win that
but
game.
But teams get bumped. Like tonight, I don't know if we're picking the game later, but you have Bills and Jets.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of this game.
They're very often. Teams get bumps out of the head coach thing, and
yep.
we think it matters, and it doesn't. The week after, they go back to being a crappy team, then mm-hmm. the reason that their coach was fired. But it's like Antonio Pierce, Jeff Satter, even bad coaches give bumps to teams.
Yep.
I think Romeo Crennel got one a couple years ago when he took over. I think it's pretty common that you get the bump from a new head coach.
Especially if they hate the old guy.
You and I were trying to get a bump. I was trying to get I don't know what you were trying to get a bump from in San Francisco. That was just a bad pick.
No, I was just trying to be the only one to pick something.
Getting a bump from the young rookie quarterback. I thought it might inject some energy, but it did.
Also, the Niners weren't off to a great start. I thought maybe, like, all right, a bunch of guys injured.
Plus, you hated Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy's not even good. What does he do well? And then he's, like, running around the field, flinging it and slinging it.
Yeah, he's John Elway out there. That was right. That was fun. All right, let's go to the phones here. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to Ralph in Cranston, who has a thought on the rookies. Let's go ahead, Ralph. What's up?
Hey, guys. You know, May looked so much more comfortable as the game went on. He looked more confident. His throws were much better, more accurate, and he felt comfortable. And I think the way he started has a little bit to do with Mayo not playing him much in the preseason. How many snaps did he really have with the number one offense? I think that has something to do with it. Now, to me, Mayo is the one that had a horrible day. I mean, how many times are running backs going to run through your front line and then run all the way for a touchdown? I mean, that's his defense. And we thought the defense was really our strength, and they didn't look good in any facet of the game yesterday. And that's all on Mayo. Now, I know one of you was saying you're not really sold on Mayo. I'm not sold on him at all. I, without a doubt, wanted Rabel. And I saw this, and I said, well, you know, he's a rookie coach. His play calling and everything – let's face it, it's all on the coach. The way they play, the calls they make, it's all on the coach. You're the head guy. And he sucked yesterday. He really did. Look at how the defense looked. You know, some of the calls. I'm not sold at all on Mayo. And he better really start snapping up or he's going to be fired like next year or something. If they keep playing some games where you see the mistakes, I'm sure you guys have seen some of the calls.
How about the opening kickoff, huh? How about that? The opening kickoff was a penalty in the opening freaking kickoff. Like, come on. Can you get the guys ready to line up for the opening kickoff? Is that too much to ask? Can we get that? Can we not have any more of those? Like, that seems like an easy place to start.
Their second one this year.
Right?
They did it in like week 2. My God, it was horrible.
Yeah, the penalties were way out of control. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
The one thing I will say, like, to me, there is a growth process here, and I don't know what Gerard Mayo is. I really don't. And I don't mean to say that, like, disparagingly, but he dubbed Alex Van Pelt the head coach of the offense.
Yep.
So I'm kind of – he's at arm's
in play calling,
distance,
I agree.
You know what I mean? I'm not sure if this is his defense or if this is DeMarcus Covington's defense. Because guess what? The last defense wasn't his.
Right.
It was a combination of Steve Belichick calling the plays and Bill Belichick is like the executive producer. And then Gerard Mayo was like one of the other producers just listed, right? I don't know exactly what his role was. Now, we had always heard Steve Belichick didn't like commanding a room and having to address the whole unit. And mm-hmm. Gerard would kind of handle those. But I don't know how invested he was. I know Tom Curran has always said
he was the spokesman of the defense.
Kinda. And I don't
now he's the spokesman of the team.
Now he exactly.
If it's not his defense, it's not his offense, then he's just the spokesman of the team, basically, right?
Yeah, but I think there might be some truth to that.
Mm.
And therefore, but as the overseer or spokesman, you do need to rein it in when it stinks, right?
Right.
Like if Alex Van Pelt is doing a poor job, I'm not telling you tell him exactly what to do, but you need to say, Alex, this isn't good enough, or we need to change some things, or you're not doing X, Y, and Z well enough. Same thing with Covington. He can't be totally hands-off and just be a spokesman. He can't just do, you know, media conferences,
right.
Greg Hill show, talk to the players, joke, and then move along. Like, I feel like there needs to be more to that. But am I wrong in that you don't – do you have a feel for what he does?
Gerard Mayo?
Yeah.
Not really.
Okay, because I don't either. And that may be good or bad. Maybe that allows him to be hands-off and be like, Robert, I just oversee these things. We need to get a new coordinator. We need to get a new guy here. I don't think he's in danger. I think the only guy – like, the coordinators could be in danger. Both of those guys could be in danger after this season.
Yeah.
I would not rule that out.
Well, they made such a big show, and that's what I disagree with the caller when he says, yeah, he might get fired next year. I don't think so. We've talked about this. I think they've made way too much of an investment in Gerard Mayo that unless there's a full-on, an actual, sorry, Evan Lazar, an actual mutiny in the locker room, like a real one, I don't think you're going to see him get canned. I think the players, for the most part, like him. I think a lot of these guys are paid and happy. And, you know, as far as the way the games are going, maybe they're a little bit frustrated. But not so much with Gerard Mayo. Maybe with each other. Maybe with the coordinators. Maybe with, you know, position coaches and things like that. And that's part of being in the NFL and being a losing team. But Gerard Mayo, I think, is a made man, at least for another year.
And Mike Vrabel's still available because I saw this weekend. You see that picture of him at a volleyball game at Ohio State?
Yeah.
So apparently he's got some time on his
living
hands.
His best life.
I guess.
Watching some volleyball. 617-779-7937. That is your phone number. We have one phone line open, so go ahead and grab it, and we will get to all of your phone calls in our big, long segment right after Stiz tells you what's trending.